Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidelon. That's how I think you pronounce that. It's Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Producer number 9. So much more than a producer. Fresh off his appearance at the showdown yesterday.
Yeah.
Sugar Hill Furious 5, the showdown. You want to bet showdown on that as well.
Yeah, nice little bet. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you get on TV? I saw a screenshot. Did you get on TV?
Matt and I were in the background, yes, at some point. At a whole 13. I was like one person away from being selected for this putting contest.
Oh, man.
It was,
that would have been awesome.
This was, we're not in snakes story territory. This would have been better because I was right up there. It was the best viewpoint we had of any hole. We were right there on the green. The guys like hit it off the green, so they're all right in front of us. And I was holding, like, I had 2 beers in my jacket and holding Matt's beer.
No.
So I was like really hoping I was going to be selected so I could be like, hey, Brooks, I need you to hold this.
If I was there, I'd have been like, for the show, Kelly, for the show.
It was a great time, though. Beautiful course, awesome event, good times.
Are you the guy, like, if you go to Absinthe or some one of those shows, like, you're the guy who ends up dancing on stage?
I mean, I try not to be, but sometimes it happens.
I'd like to go to Absinthe with you, and I'd like you to be the guy selected. Just want to point that out. You made a good choice yesterday because the Emirates NBA Cup final was a Travis Shamockery.
You
were on the Bucks.
I had the Bucks futures. Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah, 5-1 on
you
the Bucks.
You had the Bucks futures.
Yeah.
All right, but were you on OKC?
No, I didn't bet the
okay
game.
Okay, Drew was on OKC.
I had a Giannis points over. I was debating points and rebounds over points over. Love when that mistake gets made because he didn't get to over his points, but points and rebounds was easy.
For those who missed it, Bucks beat the Thunder 97-81. So every player on the Bucks roster gets themselves $500,000 for winning the in-season Emirates NBA Cup. Bucks were the runners-up last year. They win it this year. The Oklahoma City Thunder end up with 81 points. It took them until 17.6 seconds left in the game to get to 80. They hit a three-pointer to get from 78 to 81. Oklahoma City, prior to this point this season, had never scored less than 99 points in any game. And 80 was the fewest points scored by any team in the NBA in any game this season. So they just barely got by that. So Milwaukee just destroys them.
Yeah.
And good for the Bucks.
Yeah,
and
I caught a fair amount of the second half. We were back here, watched the second half here, grabbed some dinner at Barry's, which was delicious as always. But nice. I pulled the Gil though when I was checking scores out there, and I'm like, what's going on in this game? And it's like, okay, let me look at the three pointers. Oh, that's what's going on in this game because it was
exactly what's going on.
Yeah, OKC struggling massively from downtown.
And then Giannis's reaction was to go hug his brother, basically saying, "There's your $500K, buddy. Enjoy."
What I want to know is any casino managers in this town. How many bets of $515,000 were put on red or black last night? That's what I wanted. Because, yeah, $515,000 is cool, Gil. You know what's a lot cooler? $1 million.
Stupid. By the way, on the show, we have a spectacular show today. May I call it spectacular?
Yeah, we do.
Jake Bensequin joins us. He is one of the folks with a survivor entry left. His entry is the one that I mentioned that I was invested in one. His is the entry that I have the small investment
in. Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. So Jake from ProfitX, one of the co-founders of ProfitX, one of the 50 remaining survivor entries, we will get a heat check on what he's thinking about picking this week. And more importantly, beyond this week, what's he thinking about for Christmas? Because Christmas is, again, moving day at the Masters, moving day at Circus Survivor, where there is not a comfortable pick among the six. Let's put it that way. So we'll get a heat check on Jake. And by the way, I nor anybody else who's invested in his entry have anything to do with the picks. Nothing at all. It's a don't ask, don't tell policy.
Good.
because we're all out and he's gotten himself this far.
So yeah, okay. I mean, look, I think sometimes it's nice to be able to ask for advice if you want it, you know what I mean? But otherwise, cook, stay out of the kitchen.
Even if he asked, I wouldn't give it.
Okay.
Because who am I?
Right? It really is amazing.
You know?
I've got one buddy who's asked me for fantasy advice probably four times this year. I could not have given him worse answers every single time. No. Including Brock Purdy for this last week.
He, along with all the others who are still in Survivor, have done very well on their own. They don't need any outside advice at this point. Obviously, the $14.266 million circa Survivor contest. We'll also have a visit here from Gina Fiore as well later on the show. For those unfamiliar with her, she might have, I'll be conservative, one of the great stories in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
And not just sports betting, but just gambling in general. I would say Jeff Ma probably has the coolest story, MIT Blackjack team.
Yeah.
That's kind of tough, But Gina's is right up there. And we'll talk to Gina. She's doing a whole bunch of stuff, including Masterclass. She has a calendar, sports betting calendar. Let me be specific about that. She should probably clarify. She has a documentary about her. All kinds of stuff. Let's put it this way. It was not hard to research everything that she's into these days. So we'll do that. Jason Weingart will join us, JVT, with some football thoughts, college football, obviously, today. His UNLV Rebels are in action. I can call him his, right? He's a big fan of UNLV.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure he has a thought on the UNLV-Cal game. If not, the Boca Raton Bowl that precedes that today. And other bowl picks, not to mention what he has in the NFL. The Del Boca Vista Bowl is today.
Let's go, Boca Bowl, yeah.
Oh, very exciting about that. Speaking of college football bowls, I hope you hit on Memphis yesterday. I hope you got the 4.5 and were able to get it done with the Memphis Tigers against West Virginia last night in a game that soared over the 60, 42-37. Memphis gets it done in a game that I thought Memphis would win this a lot more comfortably, but they couldn't get West Virginia off the field either. And this came down to, again, we talk about, you know, the ridiculous coaching decisions in the National Football League. Well, Memphis ends up five late in this game. They're doing anything they want on offense, right? They end up with a 4th-and-3 in plus territory. They had a choice between going for the 4th-and-3. This is with just under a minute left. West Virginia has no timeouts left. Going for the 4th-and-3 or attempting a 50-yard field goal. I guess you could pooch punt it there too if you wanted to.
Right.
They've been doing anything they wanted all day, including, by the way, Seth Hennigan, the quarterback, with a keeper. You know, he was doing anything he wanted. Goes, oh, of course, guess what they choose? They're going to kick a field goal. And I'm like, oh, my God, can you stop with a field goal? So, of course, it misses.
Oh,
by the way, even if you make the field goal, they can still tie you and go to overtime.
They're up five? With
they're
this
up five,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, what are you doing? And he misses.
And when you get a chance to make a one-possession game, a one-possession game kill, you take it every time.
As I love to say.
Then the pooch punt. Why isn't it done more often?
I don't know. So anyway, West Virginia gets the ball back with like 50-plus seconds left in the game. I think it's 56. Don't hold me to that exact seconds. And so, of course, I'm like, if I lose this game, right? They were up 17-0, Memphis was. So West Virginia, with no timeouts, matriculates the ball down the field to, I want to say, about the 35-yard line. Well, they don't have a timeout. The quarterback for West Virginia slides too early before the sticks, so the clock keeps moving. So then it becomes a little harried situation for West Virginia, and he throws a ball that gets picked, ball game, right? Because he got rushed. I'm like, oh, thank God I'm lucky. So all you have to do is go down, right?
Mm.
The clock is ticking. We're almost down to 10 seconds. All you have to do is go down. So this D-back for Memphis doesn't go down. He's like, let me just sort of lollygag here, see what happens. Go down! Dude on West Virginia comes behind him, pokes the ball out. West Virginia recovers 10 seconds left, right around the 30-plus yard line. Going crazy. Except for one little detail that on review is that right before he got the ball poked out, this is after like, you know, 4 seconds of running for no reason, he did barely start a slide. Like it finally occurred to him to start a slide. So on review, totally lucky, Memphis maintains possession. There is your ball game.
Wow. What time did this game start?
Oh, it ended well after midnight East Coast time.
That's right.
It started, it's a good question. It started at 6 p.m. Pacific.
Okay, all right. Because, yeah, when I got back home, it was still on. I was shocked.
Yeah, 6 p.m. Pacific, which, again, what are we doing with that? your solitary, your sole, you know, standalone bowl game. By the way, let me just say this, the last point of this game. The color commentator, whose name I not only didn't know but didn't want to know, he goes, this is the Memphis player that picked off that ball and decided to just sort of run haphazardly down the field. The color commentator goes, and I quote, "Elijah Herring, giving himself up, saves the day for the Memphis Tigers." No, he shouldn't have been running in the first place. He did not save the day. He saved it from himself. Anyway, I hope you got the word.
We're going to have to play the Bulls sponsor game. I was just cracking up checking this one out. The Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl.
It is the Scooters Coffee Frisco
Scooters
Bowl.
Coffee, man. That's the only one I drink. I don't know about you. Never seen it more in my life. What is this game? Maybe we'll play that tomorrow. Every year is fun. Scooters Coffee.
Just don't do a disgusting mayo thing this year. I know you.
That mean Duke's Mayo?
Please don't do that.
The first time that came on the scene for a bowl sponsor, I'd never heard of Duke's Mayo.
Duke's Mayo apparently is a big thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there is a select area of the country where Duke's is pretty big.
And before we get to JVT, the other big thing, of course, that happened yesterday right after we got off air, because that's when everything happens news-wise, is the Atlanta Falcons. Raheem Morris says, we are going with Michael Penix the rest of the way. That's it for Kirk Cousins.
We had a few. Me and you had to try to scramble and get off our Browns bets, which I did.
Immediately got off it. Yeah, so I'm going to take
the DTR. You got to be kidding.
I'm going to take the juice hit on that. But that's I'd much rather take the juice hit than live through that. DTR.
I mean, I might end up doing it. Like, did you have to buy? You bought a half point? Was that at that point?
Yeah.
Yeah, I might end up doing that too. I will end up doing that if I have to. I am not going to battle with DTR at 7 points.
Right move for the Falcons if you're trying to make the playoffs here?
I think it's real. I'm going to go with yes, Gil, because it must be so bad with Cousins that they had to do this.
JVT's on the other side. Right before we get to JVT, I will give you the breakdown of Kirk Cousins' stats. First 9 games when the Falcons were 6-3.
Bonkers.
Versus after that. Quite the precipitous drop-off, to say the least. Whether it's the right choice or not, if you're trying to get to the postseason, I don't know. JVT on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This segment of A Numbers Game is brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches. There's only one number one draft pick. There's only one champion at the end of the season. And there's only one nicotine pouch brand in America that outsells the rest, and that is Zyn. Zyn is a smoke-free, spit-free, hassle-free nicotine pouch that can be enjoyed anywhere, anytime. Find your Zyn at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
You know what else is smoke-free, spit-free, and hassle-free? Tweets! We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Ice Cold Gambler, after a freezing night at Shadow Creek and a few too many cocktails on a late night, still making it into the office at 7 a.m. This is why you are the best producer in the game. Attaboy, Kelly.
7 a.m. I was here at 6 a.m.
You're amazing. You're an amazing human being. Primetime, Cowboys _Cubs1. Yo. Hey, man. Your boy Kelly was caught on air screaming / slurring mashed potatoes at Shadow Creek and shoot at Giannis at the NBA Cup. Can my book cash the K. Michael Bin Laden over 3.5 brown liquor drink bet? Yes.
Clearly. No, it didn't. It didn't. It was the under got home because there was no liquor served at Shadow Creek.
What were the, you just talked about, you had three in your
beers.
Person.
I had beers.
Oh, yeah. I see. Yeah. Oh, my bad. Jason H11. Hey, Kelly, I'm over by the dumpster. Which way do I go to get to the fairway?
Oh, this was so the whole time, I don't even know how many people were there, like 300 or something, but it was a smaller exclusive event, right? So we were still playing the whole, everybody was following, obviously it's one group. So Matt and I were trying to play the game of like, all right, let's get ahead of people.
Right.
But then we started going in behind the course and holes, and we kind of got lost at one point. So yeah, I had a video of us just at the edge of the course.
Bruce Dobigan. It was Kirk Morrison, Gil. They also, oh yes, Kirk Morrison. That's right. Former Raider Kirk Morrison was the color commentator for the bowl last night, the Frisco Bowl. They also breezed past a Memphis running back running out of bounds with less than a minute left, allowing West Virginia to save a timeout. By the way, I had Memphis -5, 3 hours for a handshake. Brutal. Eric Berg. The real question is, are you going to be in studio? I think he's referring to Gina. And yes, Gina will be in studio. The Auburnist. Always love hearing Bakai. Afterwards, I searched for his old Tale of the Tape columns he used to run on ESPN's Page 2 after the show, and they hold up. They really do. Nick Bakai's Tale of the Tape. Advantage push. The numbers guys, you've heard I picked a bad day to quit sniffing glue. How about I picked a bad day to sell 2 points regarding Memphis and the Scooter Bowl? Oh, boy. And then Spence, the starting of Michael Penix Jr. will launch the Falcons to a Super Bowl win and my cashing of Raheem Morris Coach of the Year ticket. maybe not, Spence.
If he can go win the division, that'd sure be nice for me, too. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we'll see. JVT joins us, everybody, to talk multiple sports with us. He is Jonathan Von Tobel, of course, VSiN host and our NBA senior analyst. He joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him at MeJVT on Twitter. How you doing, John?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm very excited for today and, you know what, just the future.
Well, good.
Let's have an existential conversation, yeah. John, about just random philosophical things. Before I ask you about, clearly, this is a good day to have you on because UNLV is playing in a bowl game against Cal. But I just want to ask you real quick about the NBA Cup, Emirates Cup final between the Bucks and the Thunder. I probably know the answer to this, but I feel compelled that to be thorough, I have to ask this, which is, okay, OKC, young team, everybody has massive expectations from them this year. Obviously, they don't have Holmgren. Did that result yesterday in any way give you pause about them on a big stage, or does the fact that Holmgren was absent kind of wipe that away?
I think first and foremost, the fact that you recognize that this is the biggest stage, the NBA Cup final, is a very, very important thing. No, I don't think so. Look, they went 5 of 32 from three, and a lot of those were open looks from beyond the arc. They started 1 of 17 from three. I think that makes a pretty big difference. And then by the time you get to the end, look, they don't really have a physical matchup for Giannis. That's why I thought this game was fascinating, which is why, you know, we talked about this trend. You know, 100% of the games in the NBA Cup in the knockout stage in Las Vegas in its history have gone under the total. And a big reason why is these games get pretty competitive. But I thought this one could be a candidate to go over just because I didn't think either team had a candidate for the other's best player to defend them. That rang true for Giannis. Didn't really ring true for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who had a pretty poor night by his own standards. So I don't think so. I think it's a one-off on a neutral. You didn't shoot the ball particularly well. And I think we're talking about when you get to the postseason where you're never going to be on a neutral, where you're going to have 3 to 4 games on your home floor. Like you said, you're going to have one of your better players back. I think that I would not take any grand sweeping statement away from the Oklahoma City Thunder in terms of their legitimacy to win a championship.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I just I just felt the need to ask it in case someone thought that out there. Let me just ask about the two bowl games today, one of which is the Boca Raton Bowl. But the game that you might be more fixated on because you're a UNLV guy is the LA Bowl, UNLV and Cal. I look at both of these bowl games today, and I'm like, too many moving parts for me to get involved pre-flop. What about you?
Yeah. So I do have a UNLV ticket, a money line. This is when they were underdogs still. So, like, obviously this is gone, but this was more about kind of reading the tea leaves. Look, UNLV's got everybody. Outside of two key figures on the staff, it would be Barry Odom, their head coach, who's off to Purdue. And then last night we get news that Brendan Marion, their offensive coordinator, has decided to set sail for Sacramento State, where he just got a job as head coach. And you read between the lines and it sounds like it was one of those like late in the night, like, hey guys, got a job, see you later. So they helped him prepare and then maybe get ready. But all the key pieces on the field are there. Their potential NFL receiver, Ricky White, he's there. You have Jackson Woodard, you have Haj Malik Williams, you have all these guys that helped you build this team and arguably the core of the two best teams in UNLV football history. And then you get the motivation angle too, which is, look, this is a team that hasn't won a bowl in over 23 years, guys. The last time they won, it was over Arkansas in the Las Vegas Bowl in the year 2000 out at Sam Boyd Stadium. This is going to be a team that's highly motivated to snap that skid and go out with a boom because this is the last iteration of this group. All these guys are leaving for whatever different reasons. So I think motivationally, situationally, it works a lot better for UNLV here in this spot. And so I laid, you know, excuse me, I took a plus 110. I wouldn't lay, you know, the three. This now, like you're mentioning, I think is like an in-game opportunity for you. If Cal comes out, scores on their scripted drive, you can come in and get something better on UNLV. I think the ship has sailed on what you want to do here, but I do have a small play on them in the money line about plus 110.
Do you have a favorite pre-flop bowl game or maybe even in the playoff this weekend play for us?
Yes, I would say that under 47.5 in Tennessee, Ohio State would be my favorite bowl game play at this point right now. We're obviously starting to see that in the weather, all these games, They're getting played in these Midwest states-ish, are looking like they're going to be pretty cold, pretty frigid for some of these. And for kids from Knoxville to go up there and play in that game, it's going to be a pretty interesting situation to have to play a playoff game in cold weather. But you also get a Tennessee defensive line that I think matches up really well with this Ohio State offensive line. They're shuffling pieces along the interior offensive line for the Ohio State Buckeyes. You've got a really good interior presence along the defensive line for Tennessee that should be able to wreak some havoc, and then immense talent on the edges. Then on the flip side, Ohio State's defense is great, one of the best in the country. In fact, the reason they lost that Michigan game was not because of that team, because they were turning the ball over and doing everything possible. And you have a Tennessee squad that I think by reputation is much better offensively than what they actually are. Guys, this is a group that was 11th in SEC play only in yards per play. I think Tennessee's going to have a tough time scoring, as is Ohio State. I have under 47.5 here. That's my favorite one.
Before we get to your favorite Week 16 NFL play, I'll probably ask this of every college football guest I have this week, and I'll ask these two questions of you to begin, which is, of the games this weekend, of the teams that are playing in the games this weekend, so the opening round here, who is the most, if I came to you from the future, John, and I said one of these teams won the national championship, the answer would be?
Man, it's probably a very popular answer. Did you hear Notre Dame a lot? Because I think that to me is Notre Dame. I think when you have the ability to run the ball, I don't trust you defensively entirely. Like, to bring a UNLV tie in one more time, I watched former UNLV quarterback Jade Maiava, who I don't think is very good, move the ball up and down against them for USC in the final week of the regular season. And that was very troubling for me watching Notre Dame, because that was like the first legitimate offensive opponent they had faced in a while that could at least throw the ball downfield. And they looked pretty pedestrian. That kind of worries me. But I still think they're an above average defense, and they can run the ball better than I think most teams in the field. And I think that is a weapon that will help you in a lot of these neutral site settings should you win this game against Indiana and move on. And then, of course, you get Georgia on the other side, who's got an injured quarterback. And then you get the other side of the bracket, which is either one of SMU, Penn State, or Boise State. I think that side of the bracket's more favorable. So if you're going to tell me that, force me to tell you that, I'd say probably Notre Dame. And I would assume this may be a popular answer.
All right, I'm going to force you to answer this one too, because I'm always curious, because sometimes it could be the same answer. What is the team most likely to get upset this weekend?
So I think the easy answer is Ohio State, just because it'd be right, the tightest spread. We're talking about seven and a half. Some spots are starting to show seven. The everything going on off the field, Ohio State and whatnot. Ryan Day maybe gets fired if he doesn't win a national championship. But I understand that there's some support here for Texas. This is a Texas team that constantly shoots itself in the foot. I mean, every single opponent they have statistically outperformed, and yet they have over 200 yards and over 6 yards per play in the first half against Georgia. It's 6-3. They absolutely dominate Texas A&M. They have to turn away a goal line possession to end up covering in that game. I don't like the way that Texas puts itself in positions in some of these games. I get how you get here statistically and power rating wise, but on the field, they have really struggled to win against lesser opponents. So I'll use Texas as my answer for that question.
All right. And favorite Week 16 NFL play is?
Ooh, there's a lot, but I think we're going to go with, give me the Cardinals, give me the Carolina Panthers. We're back on the train now that they're underdogs once again.
You stayed off of when they were favorite? You did that?
I took Dallas. Three was a bridge too far.
Oh, man. Wow. I'm amazed that you have a lot of plays. We've had a lot of slim pickings consensus around here. Thank you, John. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Jonathan Von Topel at me, JVT. Coming back with Matty Cox on College Hoops next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you the type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market? Or perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted? Introducing SportTrade, the app that's going to change sports betting forever. -104 lines instead of the typical -110. That's -104. Instant in-game betting and a concierge player service. SportTrade, perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. SportTrade live in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, Arizona, and Virginia. Download SportTrade. Use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. Got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Best listeners in the game. Serious. Being downright serious.
Best.
That.
Ran into a couple yesterday at the golf event.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, very nice.
I even in the darkness, I had my voice recognized. That's always a haunting feeling. You're like, I recognize that voice. I'm like, yeah. Like, I guess I'm being too loud at the golf event.
Blue Hen Bill. You move the line again, Gil. As soon as you gave your Memphis breakdown, the line went to 5.5, which I bet. Oh, well. Being a lifelong Eagles fan, I'd love to hear the Gil Commodes breakdown. I think the Eagles go back to the run this week. I have Washington plus 3.5. It's kind of a lazy sort of analysis to say, hey, Washington traditionally plays Philadelphia well, even though they do. Obviously, it's a different outfit from year to year. But for whatever reason, Philadelphia does have trouble with this franchise. I will say this, though, about Washington. I've been very, as much as I love them, I've been very clear about it. They are at a level where they can beat teams that they should beat. They haven't beaten anybody yet. And if you go back on their schedule, anybody of any, you know, quality, if you go back on their schedule here, let's go all the way back before the Hail Miriam game. Let's go to October 20th. They played Carolina. They beat Carolina 40-7. Here are the teams they've beaten this year. Giants, Bengals, remember that primetime game. Arizona, which was probably their best win of the year. They crushed Arizona. Cleveland, Carolina, Chicago, Hail Miriam, New York Giants, and then the one, you know, and then they beat Tennessee pretty handily right before their bye. And then New Orleans, when New Orleans shouldn't have had a chance at a two-point conversion to win. So I guess what I'm saying is they've literally played one good game in, you know, since the end of October. One good game since October 20th, to be exact. And that was a game against Tennessee. So, I mean, in Philadelphia, they're not losing any football games. Philadelphia playing for the number one seed. By the way, Kelly and I will look at number one seed odds here momentarily. So I took the hook, but I don't do it with like, it certainly isn't like the most confident bet of my season. I just guessed 3. And so when it was 3.5, I thought that was a play.
Yeah, at first I was interested in the Eagles, but kind of monitoring some of their injury news this week. I haven't made a bet yet, maybe, but I don't know. At 3.5, I mean, it's coming out of 3 most places. 3.5 would have been a big pass for me.
D-Gen Southern Gen, in today's A&G, I can't believe the listeners gravitated to this moment. I have 11 years experience in restaurant industry. Mayo is used in far more recipes than y'all probably realize, and trust me, Duke's mayo is far superior to all other mayo. There you go.
There you go.
And Bainbridge DeWeese. I was at the Scooter Coffee Frisco Bowl yesterday and was disappointed they didn't pour coffee on Coach Silverfield after the win. Well, that seems a little harsh.
It could have been iced coffee. Iced coffee.
Jeez. Yeah, bad decision, Coach Silverfield. Congratulations on the win. Here's some coffee. Let's talk some college hoops. Matty Cox is one third of the three-man weave crew. You can follow three-man weave at 3MW_CBB on Twitter. You can follow Matty at Matty_Cox, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Matt?
I'm fantastic, fellas. How are we doing today? I saw a Silverfield's pregame hype speech. 9 times out of 10, when those are filmed, it's just kind of a dud. It's so cringeworthy. And I just wanted to kind of throw that in there when we're talking about college football. I can't stand those.
It's like
the Lute Rodney type one. Oh, it's horrible.
The most cringeworthy pregame hype speech I've ever heard. And it's a rarely shown NFL Films one. And I don't know what year it was, but there's a Joe Montana one in the locker room where they have a camera to his back and he's giving a hype speech before a game. And it's the worst thing you've ever heard. He's like, we're going to go out there and we're going to beat them.
We're going to run well. We're going to pass well.
Score more points.
We're going to score more points than them. Yeah.
His teammates are looking at him like, okay, Joe, let's just get out there.
They're either great or they feel forced.
Just do your job. That's what they always say. Do your job.
Do your job, Joe. We love you. Just don't give the speech. Okay, let me just look at the college basketball rankings here. 5 SEC teams in the top 10. Did you see that coming?
I think we saw the gap widening between the SEC and some of the other power conferences. I mean, you see in football, and actually football probably was the cart before the horse with dragging the NIL momentum, and you see all the basketball programs being huge beneficiaries. Like the quality of coaches we've discussed has been, you know, near elite for years. And now, like, even the cellar dwellers like Vanderbilt have really, you know, upgraded their coach, and now they're a real player. And there's just no dead weight in this league anymore, right? Like last night, you saw Lamont Paris, South Carolina, the team I think that could maybe be the sneaky worst team in that conference. They beat a really good Clemson team in double OT. So, yeah, there's just no dead weight. I think Jim mentioned the power conference rankings against other leagues. It's like they're tiers above the next 5 other conferences against each other. So, yeah, they've separated themselves. It's awesome at the top. It's elite, and there's depth, and it's hard to find in these kind of mega conferences these days.
Who's your number one in the SEC? If I had to ask you that right now,
you got Auburn. I know Tennessee fans are probably like, "What else do we have to prove?" But I still think I'd trust Auburn more long term. Now the Jonai Broom injury, it sounds like that shouldn't be a killer, but that's contingent on him being in there. I think he's the most impactful player in college basketball just because what he does on both ends, they can play through him, his rim protection. So, yeah, I got Auburn by a nose.
Auburn 2-1 to win the SEC. Tennessee right behind them at plus 280. Bama plus 380. And the other two top 10 teams of the country, Kentucky 9-1, Florida 11-1 to win the conference. And you do realize, let's just clarify this, you do realize that the Reitzel Achilles injury, but replacing him with Houston Millett is an upgrade. You do realize upgrade. That.
Upgrade. Hey, we love Reitzel, but we love Houston Millett, obviously.
We Gil. Love.
So yeah, please, yes. Just a weekly update on his progress and his NBA draft stock would be appreciated for all of us out here. So,
thank you very much. Houston was going to redshirt, but then the Achilles injury happened, and now he's playing for Bama. So obviously some of us are really involved in that. So what did you land on today then at College Hoops?
You know, there's a lot of situational spots I thought were interesting, but then you look at some of the results the last couple of weeks. I don't like betting a ton during this week in particular. Like last week, I think was the finals week for most schools. Next week is the holiday break. This week is sort of that sandwich week where you have some finals, but you also have some you know, kids leaving early. Very disjointed schedules. You also have some teams going out to the island, right? Going to Diamond Head Classic for the Christmas Eve, which I know we all love to dial in when you have basketball or NBA and NFL. I'm sure most people have the Diamond Head on course over those two options. But for today, I'm looking at a couple of conference games. The main one I'll give out here that still has value at the current number is Youngstown plus 7 against Wright State. Horizon League action, one of these mid-major leagues that have sort of front-loaded their conference schedule, getting some games in before the break. Again, targeting matchups that I think that both teams are all in. You get a truer result. Just a team that's playing really well right now. Well-coached by Ethan Faulkner, an assistant who was there last season, knows what Wright State brings to bear in terms of their scheme. I think this number should be closer to 4, 3.5, 4. So, again, keeping a light card today, that's the one I'll give out just in terms of value in a matchup where I think both teams, you get their best effort, a game that means a lot to both teams. You don't have this, like, throwaway situation or, you know, questionable sense of urgency or care, I suppose.
Okay, let me ask the more macro College Hoops question then, because you allude to this, either intentionally or unintentionally. What have you done I would assume you have a sort of retroactive study on when you and Three Man Weave have performed the best or not as good. So I'll give you the three categories. Yep. This first part of the NCAA schedule, the NCAA men's Division I schedule, second part conference play, and let's say the third is sort of that stretch right before conference tournaments. Actually, let's make the fourth the conference tournament itself, the conference tournaments themselves. Because I've had different answers to this, right? Dr. Bob always says it's the conference tournaments. He destroys the conference tournaments. Most of the Vegas gamblers who aren't quite as mathematically inclined as Bob will say the beginning of the season. How about you?
For me, it is still November, the early portion of the year. I think the true junkies, you know, call it the old hat power rating type guys, which is kind of my bread and butter. I've tried to layer on elements to my handicapping that kind of take in more data stuff, more model type components or situational type things that I think sort of mirror what Dr. Bob does. Some of those other modelers who like to bet later in the year where you have more data, you have more truer situational plays. But still, for me, it is that November early power rating discrepancy where the inefficiencies, I think I have the biggest edge. But that used to be like, you know, 70% of my edge for the entire year. Now it's more like 40%. So I like that I've sort of added more elements that help my portfolio be more sustainable throughout the course of the season. Like last year, I actually had my best month was February for the first time ever. But still, it is November for us. And again, I think with the way the portal has worked out, all the player movement, the models preseason, year-to-year, KenPom, Bartorik have gotten better. But knowing the players is really an efficiency I think we can attack. So it's still November for me.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be a static answer, right? When I used to do baseball every day for years, it used to be early season, but then it morphed into late season. So things do evolve as well.
Matt, as a handicapper, we evolve, right? So yeah, exactly, totally.
Matt, appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you. Take care, boys. Good luck tonight.
You too. Matty Cox from Three Man Weave. Let's talk some Circus Survivor with Jake Bensequin on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nothing delivers comfort and joy quite like the unrivaled quality and taste of Omaha steaks. Look at that steak, Kelly. Mm-hmm. Oh, look at that. You a filet guy? What are you?
Yeah, filet, ribeye. I bounce around.
I'm a filet guy. From legendary steaks to mouthwatering desserts and more, save 50% off site-wide for a limited time at omahasteaks.com. Plus, our listeners get an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS. That's 50% off at omahasteaks.com and an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS. Minimum purchase may apply. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from, let's see, Brian M. Coach Silverfield was, in fact, covered in iced coffee yesterday.
There you go. See?
There you go. And he actually sent us a video. I could think it was iced. By the way, a lot of people reacting to Mike Sando's appearance on the show yesterday. He is one of the AP NFL Awards betters, voters. Yep. And people were not happy with his...
What part?
All Josh Allen people are like, you got to be kidding me.
Oh. Well, there's one thing. Like,
that's
why
we had him on.
I mean,
that was the point.
This is where we discuss betting odds, right? Like, there is, yes, Josh Allen should be favored right now, in my opinion, but there's still a window, a possibility that he doesn't get home with the award. There are still 3 weeks left.
You know who was also not happy with it? Cleve T.A. was not happy with it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even have a bet on it, he said. Joe Abraham, the pennant lineup behind Matty Cox was top flight apartment decor. USF, Florida Atlantic, Hawaii, Duke, Indiana, and can't tell the other one. The other one was Mississippi Valley State.
Sure.
And the last name Nash, and I had no idea about this. Good to see Matty Cox back from his short paternity leave. Looking forward to more weekly segments with the Weave this college basketball season. Matty Cox is a brand new father. He had a little girl 6 days ago.
I misheard that. I was back in the control room during the break. I thought you said it was 6 or 16 hours ago.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I felt really bad because I started bugging the three-man Weave guys. They didn't return my first text yesterday. So I was like, Matt, are you good for this spot tomorrow
well,
or not?
Because the way he said it off here, he goes, yeah, she was born 12-12. And I was like, 12-12 last night or yesterday afternoon? He goes, no, 12-12, the date. I'm like, oh. Okay, I was going to say.
Congrats, Matt. That
and then Rick
awesome.
Golier, hey, guys, why did you say not to call it Frisco? My son was super pumped to visit the Golden Gate Bridge for Christmas, but now he feels like he isn't welcome in San Fran anymore. Don't say Frisco. Don't say San Fran. Don't do any of that when you go to San Francisco.
You can go to Frisco, Texas. We learned about that yesterday. National Video Game Museum's there.
Really?
Yeah,
look at Frisco, Texas.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, he is one of the people, one of the remaining people who have himself a Circa Survivor entry that is alive. There are 50 entries left. He is the co-founder of ProfitX. He is Jake Bensequin joining us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Jake, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Happy to be back here.
And Jake, let me just ask you what I asked you off air first before we get into anything about your pick this week, about Christmas, how you're playing that, monetization, all of it. Can you even allow yourself there's 3 weeks left in the NFL season, but obviously four with the Christmas quirk and Survivor. Can you even allow yourself to get excited yet with Christmas looming?
I think all the fun's been sucked out of it at this point. it's been more stressful than enjoyable of late. I think post Thanksgiving, a flip really switched.
Yeah, the attitude when Jake first came on, I was so impressed with.
Yes.
The wavering in the tone you can hear now. I understand, Jake. It's a lot of the line.
Well, because part of it, Jake, remember last time you were on, and by the way, let me just say what I said earlier on the show. I have, just full disclosure, I have a very, very, very small portion of Jake's Survivor entry. But again, don't ask, don't tell. None of us who are invested give any advice. It's all Jake picking all of them. I asked you last time, did you have any sweats? And you wanted a mulligan on that because you answered that you hadn't, but there was one. And since I asked you, you've had nothing but sweats, right? Pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. I had answered that previously incorrect. I appreciate the mulligan. I was on Jacksonville earlier this year when they played Joe Flacco and the Colts. And if anyone remembers, or I'm not sure too many people were watching the fourth quarter of that game early on, but Flacco scored 14 points in the fourth quarter and they wouldn't go away. And Jacksonville had to win it on a 55-60 yarder from Cam Little, whose name I will never forget now.
Never.
Yeah, no, since I said that and since I came on, I've had to deal with Kansas City and Cincinnati last Monday night or two Monday nights ago. So It's been, as I said, and as you know, Kelly's picking up over here, the confidence hasn't wavered, but the stress of the situation has definitely creeped into the fun side a little bit.
Yeah, Kansas City, just to clarify, Kansas City was the day after Thanksgiving where the Raiders just snapped the ball for that. First of all, they called a timeout too early, then they snapped the ball and fumbled, and Kansas City miraculously won that game. And then I would argue that the Cincinnati game against Dallas might be the quickest change of emotions in Survivor history. A punt is blocked, and so for, I don't know, what was it, 2.3 seconds, just going to throw that out there, you're like, it's over. And then Dallas did the Leon Lett thing and touched the football, and Cincinnati got it back. Even Joe Buck didn't get that Cincinnati maintained possession at that point. So that was unbelievable. Just incredible.
I had never seen that before. I watched a lot of football, never had seen that one before. Just saw the officials pointing the other way. And Cincinnati ball, but that's like a scientific study, right? If I could actually process everything in real time as it was happening, I don't think I did. I think I just saw Cincinnati ball, which was better than the Chiefs game for sure, which was a long drawn out. Ooh. I'm going to lose here.
Brutal. Okay, this week, week 16, the week before Christmas, what are you thinking?
It's hard to not take the so-called free square with Green Bay in advance to Christmas. I obviously know there's no guarantees out here, but do I want to be on Penix? Probably not. I don't know if it can get much worse than Kirk Cousins, but rookie QB, Giants seem to be a total disaster. But it's hard at this point. I know that sometimes the math and the EV of the selections can go against this, but Christmas is, you know, the biggest swing of the year and always has been, and everyone's been preparing for it since before the season started, right? So having a 13.5 point, I think even they're at 14.5, I saw last night on Circa, having that as an option, and Green Bay only could really be utilized in week 18, and week 18, who the hell knows what's going on? So it's tough to pass that up, but for me, it's really that or Atlanta. I don't have Cincinnati. I don't have Buffalo.
Okay, I like that. In my best Tony Romo voice, just don't say free square, Jake.
Yeah, of course. Don't say that. It's okay. I've been using it pretty freely out here for others and for myself. But if they lose, they lose. I would be okay going down with a 14.5 point home favorite.
Far more interesting. And interesting, I say in quotes, because from your perspective, it's probably, oh God, interesting. It would not be the word you would use. Is the three game Christmas quirk in this contest. None of the six is a comfortable play. What are you thinking right now? Obviously, your mind can change, but what are you thinking right now?
Yeah, so this contest has gotten incredibly interesting the last week. I mean, it's already been, you know, obviously an extremely well-run and popular contest over the last few years, but you have, as I mentioned, Atlanta going with Michael Penix yesterday and benching Kirk Cousins. So the team with arguably the most future value outside of like a Philly or something, just changed their starting quarterback after not being able to score a touchdown in Vegas. So they are home versus the Giants this week and then home versus Carolina in week 18. So that's a huge wrinkle. Then we get to Christmas, and Christmas now has both starting quarterbacks for the Steelers, or excuse me, for the Chiefs and for the Seahawks going down. So you've got Geno and Mahomes now looking gimpy. Mahomes did practice fully yesterday, which I think was a huge surprise to everyone. But I'm left with Pittsburgh and Chicago, who are playing those two quarterbacks. So the decision for me, I don't think it'll come down to a QB decision. It looks like both of those guys are going to be good to go on Christmas after, you know, Sunday night, Monday morning, thinking neither might be, especially with the way Geno's looked and with the way Mahomes has looked. I mean, I can't believe he practiced yesterday, but someone asked me last night, do you trust, you know, the Steelers or the Bears more? And I basically said, how can you possibly trust the Bears more? So it's tough. It's looking like either of those selections are going to be slight dogs with some lines finally out, but either way, it's going to be a massive, massive swing in the contest. You're going to result with at least half the people gone.
Chiefs, Steelers, Ravens, Texans, Seahawks, Bears. Those are the three games, Christmas Day and the day after Christmas. Real quick, last two questions. One, have you begun monetization?
I've sold 10% of the entry, a little bit to yourself, Gil, over here, and a little bit to some other friends. So I have started monetizing it. I think Christmas again, assuming we get through this week, creates a great monetization opportunity as well. So have started with equity chunks being sold off, but haven't actually started necessarily, you know, hedging on the other side. Yeah,
the hedging was what I was referring to. Okay. Yeah. And then lastly, you told us last time you finally told your parents. Yeah. Are they dancing around? Are they having discussions with you about this? What are they doing?
Just annoying me for the pick, which is okay. it's understood at this point, but yeah, it's become a little bit bigger than me in terms of I've got a lot of people, you know, understanding the gravity of the mm-hmm. situation, which is not making it any more fun. It makes it way worse. I liked it when I was just sweating in silence.
Jake, good luck. Let's go.